So my guest today is Meeta Sakaria, HR professional for nearly 20 years and currently the Director of International Diversity, Equity and Inclusion, commonly known as DEI, for McDonald's restaurants. McDonald's, like many of the organisations that we speak to, hold these three closely linked values to ensure that the different groups of individuals, including people of different races, ethnicities, religions, abilities, genders, and sexual orientations, are best supported. And at McDonald's, they sum this up with a really nice statement: we celebrate each other for who we are. So Meeta, welcome. Absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. And I'm sure our listeners are looking forward to hear your views and thoughts on inclusive leadership.
Thank you so much, Trayton. I'm really delighted to be here with you and talking about this very important topic.
Great. So I guess we should start with the simple question. From your perspective, what is inclusive leadership?
So inclusive leadership, from my perspective, is really how the only way that we can move forward in business in terms of how we lead others. You know, it was a concept introduced to me back in 2016 through a very, very clever model that Deloitte's pulled together, talking about the six D's. But if we really break it down, it's about how we interact with each other, how we create a really personalized human experience for our people, and the role that leaders play in ensuring that people can bring them their best selves to work and that they really belong in the workplace. But if I kind of delve a bit more into the six signature traits, because I think that they're important to unpick a little bit, yeah. It really helps us to kind of explore what we truly mean. And actually, these concepts are also very helpful in a very tangible way for us to talk about inclusive leadership with our leaders at McDonald's. So, as I mentioned, it's really a style and a value that embraces diversity, how we promote equality and equity within the work environment, where everyone feels valued and respected. So I would start by saying the first C of the six C's is really about commitment. And we've certainly found that we do need our leaders to be committed to understanding the value that diversity and inclusion can bring, and how those objectives align with their values and that they really believe in the business case. Because this is a journey. We all talk about, yeah, you know, being an inclusive leader is a journey. We can never know enough. And actually, we do the commitment, the first C of commitment is, in my mind, the most important one, because we need leaders to be invested in their continuous growth and knowledge in this area.
Okay, so what you're saying, the first thing is you need people to be bought in, engaged, invested, to appreciate and realise the value in operating in a different way for some people. Yeah, great.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, it takes effort and it takes intentional effort for leaders to operate in a different way to maybe, you know, how they've been led before by others. And we talk about this being a real journey of hearts and minds. You know, we can talk about the business case of being an inclusive leader in D&I till the cows come home. But actually, yeah, unless our leaders really kind of see how this then impacts their teams and how their teams feel, it's a really difficult place
to
move forward.
So from our perspective, when we try to introduce, let's say, a coaching culture, this is a mindset shift. It's a new operating system of raising awareness and then getting that commitment from leaders to then embrace that. And as you say, lovely term, invest in it.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, I mean, we can delve more into, you know, the kind of the reasons why it's so important for business. You know, yeah, as Deloitte had kind of looked at in 2016, it was important back then. It continues to be important now, certainly with the changing expectations of our people, with more transparency and commitment. So commitment, number one, the first, yep, C.
Great.
The second C is courage. You know, and this definitely resonates. And I've had lots of discussions with many leaders over the last few years around how do we help leaders to feel vulnerable, to feel that they can speak up and challenge the status quo. And much of this is also about shining a lens back inwards to, you know, what's our own self-awareness around how do we become, you know, more inclusive as individuals, and where maybe our knowledge gap are prevalent, and we actually need to go and find out a bit more. So it's this knowledge, the concept of courage, I would say, is it opens up the discussion of us, you know, as leaders, understanding we may not know the right answer here, but we know how to go out and find and speak to others and be willing to do something about it.
And I guess having that vulnerability, being curious and just noticing the emotions or the reactions or the language that you're using or others are using and the behavior that people are enacting, and being courageous to sort of hold oneself to account or hold others to account.
Yeah. And I, you know, I saw this play out quite often, certainly after the events of in 2020 with Black Lives Matter. You know, we had saw many leaders across organizations, certainly in ours, holding their hands up and saying, we don't really know the right thing to do here, let's just open up the floor for conversation, for safe discussion, you know, be vulnerable, and actually we'll find the right way to ensure that our people feel safe, our people feel listened to, and actually taking the right steps as we move forward. So courage is a very important C in my mind. The third C is then curiosity. You know, how do we have an open mindset and a desire to really understand each other's views and experiences of the world? Certainly, as you know, within McDonald's, we're such a global brand. We have people from all walks of life, all cultures, and we, you know, curiosity is a general leadership trait is very important. I think when you then couple that with developing an understanding of a different perspective to one that you may have developed as you've gone through life, it's a really important trait to have as an inclusive leader, to want to really get to know your people and really understand what are the strengths, what do they bring, you know, how has their lives and their upbringing shaped the way they think, and therefore what great ideas can they bring to the table, different perspectives that we may not have thought about.
Yeah, and I guess I can see how these C's sort of integrate with each other, because I think those first three, commitment, courage and curiosity, very powerful foundations to create, you know, not just inclusive leaders, but more effective leaders.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is it. And I think you could almost, and we talk about this often, do we drop the word inclusive? You know, because this has to be how we lead, you know, moving forward in business. The third C then is really cognizance of bias, which is, again, has a very nice interlink between the three C's. But this is about how we are mindful of our own personal blind spots, the stories we may make up about people before we get to know them. Yeah. And then how do we then, as leaders, ensure that we can self-regulate or mitigate? To ensure that there is equity or at least equality in the way that we move forwards in leading our team.
So could you, okay, that's interesting. Can you give me some sort of a better understanding or just unpick that a little bit more for myself and for the listeners? How might that show up? What's that look like, feel like, sound like?
I think the, you know, unpicking your own bias is a very deeply personal journey.
Yeah.
And at McDonald's, you know, we talk about different types of bias, whether they're positive or negative. And, you know, we're raising awareness. However, we have a job to do across looking at our processes, you know, helping our leaders to really think about having the right environment where we can have open discussion of how we mitigate against biases, certainly around decisions we make around people. Do we have enough objectivity within our conversation to be able to really feel comfortable that we are providing equity of opportunity for everybody, which leads to fairness and equality. And at the same time, you know, are we asking the right questions of ourselves? Have we looked at the data, you know, whether that's representation data or any other data from our employee insight surveys, to really think beyond just how are the processes being implemented to really what are the mindsets around our leaders, and digging a bit deeper. So I would say, as a, you know, this is a really tricky one, absolutely, for businesses to get right. We hear lots of different viewpoints on, you know, unconscious bias training and how effective is this. And and I definitely don't, I definitely feel that, you know, unpicking bias and being cognizant of bias is such a personal journey for every individual. That as a business, we, you know, the best thing we can do is create the space, create the awareness, number one, of what it is, create the space, number two, of people being able to explore it themselves, and then as a collective group, without finger pointing, without, you know, creating uncomfortability. And then number three, making sure that we feel comfortable, we can hold ourselves up against any decisions that we make moving forward, so we can provide fairness and equity and equality for all.
Yeah, and that's fascinating. And I love the term, that personal journey, because as we explore it as individuals, because when I'm coaching or working with organisations, we don't think that we have biases, but we're blind to those. And it's not until they're pointed out or we impact someone in, you know, a less positive way that we realise that we've approached it because of that bias and, you know, the impact that might be having. So, yeah, to have that, as you say, raised awareness on various levels, and then linking that in with the courage to reflect personally, but also to reflect and raise awareness for others. I think that's lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the next thing I would talk to is cultural intelligence. You know, how leaders are confident and effective in some of those cross-cultural interactions. So this is more than just recognizing different cultural settings. You know, this is about how an individual's own culture can impact their personal worldview. So it does link very nicely to kind of bias and cultural stereotypes and the influence, how this then influences the expectations you have maybe of other people. And again, as we are more and more globalized, as we really seek to develop leaders who can understand, you know, even the simple things like how you enunciate or how you pronounce your words better, or the use of gestures, or you know, things that are acceptable in different countries and cultures. Once we build that cultural intelligence muscle, I think that serves us well as we move forward with really kind of global enterprise mindset leaders.
Yeah, and obviously McDonald's is a global business. Mm-hmm. How do you develop that cultural intelligence across your restaurants?
Great question. If I'm honest, many of our restaurants are, you know, representative of society that they operate in.
Yeah.
So you will find many different people from different cultures within that society working in the restaurants. We have offered, you know, and we continue to offer at a local level, kind of learnings and development programs. Maybe that could be edited out, but
yeah, we'll edit to that, Fina. Yeah.
development sessions around, you know, being aware of others' cultures. Certainly, when we think about banter and how that may be misperceived by people from different cultures. And we always say that the best run restaurants have to be reflective of our customer base. So, you know, we need diversity within our restaurants. We can't have, you know, a lean to one, you know, one culture or another, one ethnic group or another. It has to be diverse in the society in which we operate. But it's, the job's not done. You know, I think as our new generation of employees enter the workforce, they are so much more connected than ever before, you know, in their personal lives through social media. And we do find that actually many of our employees are already so culturally intelligent across our restaurant level.
And I guess what you're saying is, by having that cultural difference already in your restaurants, which reflects the customer base, and that sort of more cultural intelligent generation, it's McDonald's are building on that and reinforcing all those positives and building that momentum in your restaurants in that way.
Absolutely. Nice. Yeah, and the multi-generational kind of lens to this is so important, because we are finding more and more, you know, as these generations, without stereotyping particular generations and kind of motivations, it is becoming, you know, it's starting to become quite prevalent that there is dark kind of differences maybe in what motivates you know, Gen A or Gen Z versus maybe your older leaders who may be in the restaurant. Yeah. So there's more work that we probably are looking to do within that space, both across our restaurants, but also our corporate offices.
Yeah. And it's a challenge I hear with other organisations who work with me too, that, you know, there's something like five generations within the workplace. So how, as a leader, you know, not just against things we've spoken about already, but, you know, with those generations, how do you lead people who not just culturally, but have other different desires, ambitions within the workplace and within their own personal space? So it's a real challenge.
Absolutely. And this is why inclusive leadership for me can be the only way that we lead moving forwards, because it does, you know, if I talk about the last theme of collaboration, you know, this trait is really about how we help empower our people as individuals, but also create and leverage the thinking of diverse groups, and that power of multi-generation, you know, done well, and as long as we're hearing all perspectives and we're being collaborative in the way that we think about solutions and the right in innovations and initiatives that help everybody, that definitely helps us in our collaboration. And I think, you know, we talk about the new IQ is really how smart you make your team. So how do you collaborate as a leader to lead not top down? You know, nobody really expects that anymore, but how do you lead from the middle and outwards and make others smarter and really help to ensure that diverse perspectives are heard within teams, which for us, you know, at McDonald's at the moment, we are really focusing on how we're going to be more innovative, more faster and more efficient. You know, and as our consumer base continues to diversify, how do we collaborate and work really horizontally across our organization to make sure that our innovations are closer to the customer and more relevant to the customer, which I think that is a competitive advantage really in business. So the final C of collaboration continues to be an important one.
And I guess what you've done there very nicely is illustrate to the listeners the value of inclusive leadership that can bring into not just your organisation, but to any organisation, by having that diverse ideas, that thinking to create and collaborate together to create more innovation and different product solutions from your customers, for your employees and colleagues, etc. So are you able to share, I guess, some of not just those benefits, which I hope our listeners get, but some of the success stories that you've had where you've seen inclusive leadership work really well?
Yes, gosh, quite a few. Great. over the course of my career at McDonald's. You know, we're such a people first organization. I will say that, you know, certainly nowadays, if you aren't leading inclusively, you will see this show up, you know, within our employee sentiment surveys, within, you know, people are not afraid now to kind of hold a mirror up and say, hang on a minute, I have a view, I don't feel that I'm being listened to, or indeed, I don't feel that I'm receiving information transparently, you know, and that my voice is being heard. So we ask these questions across the enterprise, you know, across all of our markets, and we measure them through an inclusion index. So do you feel that you belong? Do you feel that you have transparency? Do you feel that your viewpoints are heard? Have we created and provided a safe environment that's trusting and allows open debate? So from a McDonald's perspective, we take it very seriously in making sure that it's ingrained throughout our listening strategy and that actually our leaders, as I said, have a mirror held up to them. I think just from a more, you know, more personal examples. Again, if I just stick to kind of the expectations we have of our leaders to build an inclusive culture, and this, you know, across the highest set of leadership within our markets, all the way kind of down to more kind of senior leadership level, where we've asked every leader to go on an inclusive leadership session to really unpick some of these themes that I talked about. And I've seen some great examples. So for instance, there is a director of operations in the UK, actually, who has a very diverse team. You know, they kind of represent the southwest of the United Kingdom. And he wanted to encourage more open discussion around, and it really started from, you know, kind of COVID when everyone was at home and, you know, you were starting to see into people's lives and, you know, with starting to see families. But he has really set aside and dedicated time at every meeting to talk to the team and allow the team kind of free space to share things that are happening, not just, you know, personally at home, but also bringing in elements of religion, culture, you know, kind of more of the personal characteristics, because as I said, he had a very diverse team. And he appointed, you know, he took ownership and leadership of setting this space. But he definitely asked the team, what would you like to see or hear more about? How can we embark on this learning together as a team? You know, do we not know enough about, you know, the LGBTQ plus community, for instance, and what they need? Or do we not know enough about how we talk about race and ethnicity, for instance? Do we want to know more about how this shows up for our people? Do we want to talk to some of our people within restaurants? So that's a really nice, easy way of a leader understanding, you know, that showing vulnerability, showing the, you know, kind of the setting the tone that maybe we don't know everything we need to know, and let's embark on this journey together. And actually what I loved about that example is that they also then extended some of those discussions and conversations to the franchisees. So as you know, we're a franchise organization, and they themselves are their own, you know, their own leaders and their own right of their own organization. So collectively they kind of went on a journey together. And I thought that was a really powerful example of inclusive leadership that for me has, you know, continues, I have no doubt, to have an impact for the team, but equally, you know, really down to the people in the restaurants, but also then the customers that receive a great experience from those people.
And I guess what he's done has been the catalyst to educate and raise awareness.
Absolutely.
And then that just spread, you know, call it the butterfly effect, into the restaurants, into franchisees, hopefully into customers, and just understanding and the differences, different perspectives, different views, different desires that people have, which then helps to raise awareness, which then helps to it encourage collaboration and curiosity.
Absolutely. The other, you know, other great examples, if we think about strength-based leadership, so you think about actually focusing on what do people do really well. And there is a leader that I know very well who really believes in the importance of focusing on strength. And whenever he has, you know, there are changes in the team, new members, they really build a session together as a team to discuss what are the collective strengths of the team, but equally, what do we all individually bring? And that then allows for really good conversation, you know, an honest discussion around, right, where do we need to plug some gaps? If collectively we don't have particular strengths in our armory, how do we, you know, seek help from others? But at the same time, where can we propel and actually move faster and innovate? Because, you know, we can draw on the right people to be involved in the right projects or the right approach, because they bring certain things to the table. And that for me is a really nice, easy way of, as a leader, you know, really showing appreciation for who you have on your team, for what they bring. All too often we can get a little bit hung up on fixing or trying to, you know, raise up the areas that people are less strong at. And at the same time, it just allowed them that element of transparency and open discussion across the team.
And Mita, as you were talking, I think you expressed it nicely in just saying nice and easy. Mm-hmm. You know, having a conversation with other human beings about what's in the room and the differences and the diversity and the strengths that are there is not difficult for leaders, or shouldn't be difficult for leaders to do. Just have that converse. But I guess going back to your six C's, it very much depends that there's that commitment and desire to want to learn, to raise awareness, to be vulnerable, and to allow others around them to have that psychological safety to enable and facilitate those types of conversations.
Absolutely, yes. And, you know, it should be nice and easy, but we know all too often that we can get consumed in our, you know, what are the things we need to achieve this week, this month, this quarter? How are we getting there and how are we moving quicker? And there is a really nice exercise that we do as part of the inclusive leadership sessions that we've asked all of our leaders to attend. And it's one that gets me every time. We ask them to get into two teams and we set a task. And it's an easy task where one person is, you know, kind of has to close their eyes and the other team members will direct them to perform a task.
Yeah.
Now, that task is observed. It, you know, you're given 4 minutes. So not a huge amount of time to get yourselves organized. And you know, and all that goes through the minds of people is we must win. We must be the quickest.
We must achieve. You know, we must get an output in the 4 minutes.
Absolutely. And that's how we're so wired, I think, in many ways, to be in business. Certainly when you come from an operational kind of background where it can be quite fast paced and, you know, this is about KPIs and just kind of achieving. And the exercise is a great one because you see the penny drop, you know, you see the light bulb moment once we debrief and we really talk to, okay, who is leading in that discussion? Who did you speak to as the person taking control? Why did you take control? You know, how many other viewpoints did you seek? Did you get consensus around the room? Had you heard from everybody in those 4 minutes? And when you start to ask those questions and you realize, actually, no, we moved quickly rather than thinking about, do we slow down for a moment to then speed up because we know we've got everybody's views in the room. We know we've got everyone's buy-in. We know that everybody's comfortable in the way that we're approaching it. So yeah. I love that example because it's
a great example. And for me, if you just extend that into, you know, organizations the size of yours across, you know, other organizations, what I see all the time is human doings. It's about get the task done. Yeah. It's about doing stuff rather than being. What I've taken from this podcast is we need to just stop and be with each other and understand the brilliance and the diversity which each of those individuals bring. And that's what great leaders will do around those six core areas that you've articulated really nicely.
Absolutely.
On that theme, I've got a question which I'd like to ask is, what are your hopes for not just inclusive leadership, but for leadership going forward?
Really tough question this, Trayton. I mean, if I'm honest, my hopes are just that, can I just talk it out with you before I...
Yeah, just go for it. So what are your hopes, Meeta?
I think my hopes for the future are that leaders continue to really appreciate the responsibility that they have for the experience of future generations and workforce, you know, people in the workforce. It has to be, we have to lead with a people first approach. There is no other way to lead moving forwards. And I think that the kind of traits that I've talked about will really continue to set leaders apart from others, but equally help businesses to continue to build on future success.
Yeah, and I think what you said there is what I'm hearing in the sort of the with other organizations you work with is making leadership very human centric.
Yeah.
And creating an environment and being responsible and accountable for an environment which is sustainable for people to, going back to the first point you raised, bring their best selves to that environment. And leaders should create that environment and support individuals to be their best selves and to maximize the diversity that's there to get the best out of it for the individual, for the group, for the organization. And I guess on the wider side, for society in which we live in.
Absolutely. I think my hope for the future is certainly to your point, leaders realizing the role that they can play and the accountability they must take to continue to build diversity in thinking, more collaborative, more kind of human-centered leaders that really believe in the power of people.
And I think what hopefully this podcast has shown individuals is that inclusive leadership isn't a nice to have anymore. It's a must have if your organization is to continue to survive and thrive in a world which is constantly changing. So Meeta, thank you. It's a real pleasure as ever to connect. And I'm sure our listeners have taken a lot from that, from the six C's, the delight model of inclusive leadership, to your views and all the great work that you're doing within the McDonald Restaurant Group. Thank you once again for your time and insight into inclusive leadership.
You're welcome. Thank you.